It's that time of the week again. New episode of Trade Talk is going live. LA Aiko here. Thank you all for tuning in. I know the subject matter has become more difficult and less of a sizzle. As I've been seeing from a lot of people's reactions, they definitely want to know what stocks to buy and why I'm not recommending direct names. And one of the biggest reasons I have not been recommending direct names is because I am very skittish and uncomfortable with the market. In this episode, it will obviously be a continuation of the general thesis, but pointing out more facts that are showing themselves to be true. And I'm hoping that many people start to pay attention to this, but if not, I'll happily see them fall through as many of my predictions have fallen through over the last 2 years. So to get into the episode, let me make sure I clearly state it and it's clearly visible. You'll see the title of the episode is "The Fed Taper is a Lie." And I say this because I have a general hypothesis and there is clear indication that that is what the case will be. Hopefully a lot of people will come to meet this same conclusion and err with caution going forward in the marketplace. So again, what is the hypothesis? The Fed is proclaiming a taper is on the horizon. Many people in the market are saying that that taper will happen probably in November or sometime like that, or, you know, September. That's not possible. The hypothesis is a Fed taper in any immediate term or even before the end of the year is not something that is possible. They will have to continue bond buying due to the slowdown of consumer consumption and consumer confidence being low. Now, what does that mean? Specifically, what I'm saying in my hypothesis is that, much as I've said before, but this time I'm giving you more clarity because the Fed came out in its commentary. And I'll read to you what the commentary says after I say my statement. But you are not seeing wage growth keep up with inflationary pricing. And that is very problematic. And that leans back to unemployment and the need for people just to generally earn more money. In the most recent meeting of the Federal Reserve, and this can be seen, and this was a July 27-28 meeting, and you can see this on federalreserve.gov. The quote is, "Looking ahead, most participants noted that provided the economy were to evolve broadly as anticipated, it is judged appropriate reducing the pace of asset purchases this year after substantial progress should be recognized." Meaning they're saying reduce asset purchases and bond buying because we're seeing economic growth. However, various participants, and this is the very important part, commented that reduction in the pace of asset purchases was more likely to become appropriate early next year. Okay, there's a key reason as to why for early next year, and that is because Jerome Powell is up for a reinstatement in February. I highly doubt we get any tapering for the rest of the year. Lastly, it was commented, and this is the most prevailing important part to me, the labor markets don't see prevailing conditions of improvement. Substantial further progress is needed. And because of that uncertainty, they do not see the immediate reaching of targeted goals of full employment or reducing the amount of unemployment that is currently out there. Again, that's from federalreserve.gov. That's kind of paraphrased because the whole statement would be very long. I'm trying to keep this podcast within reason. So when you see that and you say, well, what does that got to do with anything? Most people are like, when's a market crash coming? What you're going to see is a pullback. And you're not seeing the pull. And obviously it's contradictory because you would say, well, you just told me that they have to keep bond buying. How are we going to get a pullback if they're going to continue the same system in inflating assets, especially housing assets through mortgage-backed security buying? Simple. Again, this is all to culminate all everything that was said before and put it into a nice, pretty package for you. As I've repeated in multiple episodes, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you have so many benefits that are given to the American public that are ending, from rent eviction moratoriums to unemployment benefits, as well as student loans not having to make payments to your student loans. I know those have already been extended to January, but it's still all relevant. There is a group that tracks a lot of these things very accurately, and it's the University of Michigan. And the reason why the University of Michigan's tracking of consumer confidence is important, because they have been very accurate since the early 2000s and were very spot on in just identifying the issues of the mortgage market. When you take into account these things, you come to realize that it doesn't matter if the Fed continues to bond buy, they actually have to issue stimulus. Liquidity is starting to dry up again. There has been no stimulus. Most of that PPP money and all those other government-funded monies are drying up. Money that is going to be giving for rental assistance to stop evictions is going straight to landlords. So it goes to the state, goes straight to landlords. It doesn't ever touch consumers' hands, so their consumer consumption doesn't change. And the states are not getting it to the landlords fast enough. There is another deadline barreling down very quickly. It's not as fast as before, but we're about to enter September, and that next moratorium is in October. And I have not heard that many people getting their rent relief. The Association of Realtors, as well as landlords, have not backed down on their stance of you need to lift this eviction ban because this is ridiculous. So that means they're not getting their money. They want their money. That's what they care about. They don't care about evicting people. So no confidence with less money means less money spent and more saving. And that's even if you can save, because the last portion of that as it pertains to this is, how can I save if the money that I was getting, or my constant flow of money that is my supplemental unemployment included with my standard unemployment, is going to dry up soon? For a lot of people, that is their only access to wages. Everyone can say that they can go get jobs, but much like I said in my prior episode, it is not as quickly and simple to just go and get a job. You don't walk in, put in the application, get the job. Are there places you can do that? Yeah, there's some, but a lot of people's skill level is above it, and their bills, their monthly bills, are above it. You can make it where the average person, where they'd be like, oh, the average person is only back behind $3,000, $5,000 in rent. Where do they live? Because in the major cities, the one bedroom rent is $1,700. And that's in the neighborhoods that aren't that great. Most people in the metropolitan areas are paying $2,000 and above. So they can't be behind $2,000 to $3,000, $4,000. They're behind probably $10,000 plus. And you know that to be true because most of the caps that they're putting on in a lot of states on how much rental assistance you can get off the bat, like a maximum without a special consideration, is $12,000. There you have it. So that is one reason why the Fed taper is a lie. But there are more reasons why the Fed taper is a lie. And it is my strong belief the Fed is going to walk back their statement at some point. And if they don't do it very directly, the Trump administration was good for never fully admitting to changing or changing the direction of something. You will have to start seeing it because the stock market is ignoring what's happening with the data, but the consumers themselves are bracing. And you know the consumers are bracing because they, you can just hear it in the news when they're starting to say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do next, or, you know, I still haven't gotten the help that I need. I can't stop getting these benefits. Or you can just look at all the petitions for more small business funding, petitions for more extended unemployment benefits, and most definitely the petition for stimulus check 4. The two most notable places where you can even see that these tremors are happening and consumers are bracing are in food and energy. The cost of energy and the cost of what's going on with food, and food keeps inflating. The food is something that people have to get, and they don't tend to include those in the government's numbers, but people have to get food. And when it inflates to where it gets to, they either have to, they don't actually get a choice to say not buy it. They tend to actually have to borrow to buy it. And I know this might sound like it's too broad and too big to think of it that way, but you better believe when you see cash out refis, you see more people using credit, you see banks trying to cut personal credit, it's because people are starting to use more of a percentage of their credit card. For those of you out here who are very into your credit score and credit utilization and how they'll be like, oh, you only use 10% of your credit utilization. If you think that these banks and are not tied in and paying attention to that credit utilization is increasing, then you have another thing coming. That is how they know when to pull back the personal lines of credit and also to understand how and in what way people don't have as much money as they had before. So a key thing to know when a person doesn't necessarily have money, they tend to start using their credit card more to prolong the payoff period for themselves and have the ability to then come back and buy whenever, come back and pay off the debt whenever they have the extra money, or to buy themselves the time to get an unemployment check, get the next stimulus check. And I know that sounds crazy because, like, what's a $1,400 check going to do for you? Well, that's the point. It's not going to do anything for you. That's the point of why prices cannot just go up exponentially. They hit a rejection point where consumers can no longer afford the pricing. This is why you can have low interest rates and still have a stock market fall, because prices will reach a point where consumers reject them. I've said it before. I'm saying it again because, again, this is tying it in a tight, pretty little package for you so you can understand it very, very nicely. Hence, credit contraction. But that's on the bank side. But rejection of pricing, that's on the consumer side. And overall, you're just getting an imbalance in the marketplace due to more product, less ability to afford product, then having to reprice the product, and hopefully your wages keep up with that pricing so people can get back to consuming again. How does this tie into Fed taper, government, and everything in a nutshell to wrap this episode up? Well, very simple. If you look back in 2008, when prices of homes had inflated so dramatically, and then you were unable to lend, you were unable to borrow, you saw that the prices and the demand of those things came down while the market was going down in itself and they were trying to cut interest rates. That's a perfect example of where I could show you. You can have low yields, which means low interest rates, right? And you can still have a market falling because they're trying to stabilize it, but still people not buying. It is only going to last for so long that you're getting top dollar for things like cars, or there's not just not enough cars available. Everyone is riding the gravy train from real estate to cars and everything else. It won't matter because price rejection is price rejection. And when you see more and more consumption, you're seeing that consumption through the use of credit. Credit will be reduced because it is because of utilization being too high and banks wanting to reduce risk exposure. Boom, right there. The Fed must step in if they're doing this taper talk for real by not tapering later, but by providing more liquidity now. And once that liquidity has been provided, people can then keep things propped up, keep markets propped up, buying more time to regulate the unemployment situation, and giving the Fed enough time to start a taper after people have excess money. Now, is it to say that this all makes sense? You have to tune into the next episode, because in the next episode, I have finally found what the billion-dollar question is. What is the Fed going to do about this mess? Because everyone is like, this is a cycle. It's just going to continue and continue. When's it going to stop? Well, I figured out how it's going to stop and when it's going to stop. Does it mean that I'm the oracle and I'm completely right? No, but it is to say it gives you a concrete reason, and it's not a hunch or an assumption. And since it's not a hunch or an assumption, I'm willing to bet on it because they're actively doing it currently. So I hope that this episode found you well. I hope that you could understand a few things about why the Fed taper is a blatant lie. This isn't an episode that is going to say point out a stock specifically, because it's not about a stock at this time. If you're chasing stocks, you're going to get skinned out there, because the market will trend up, then trend back down, which in essence is trading sideways. Volume may be there, but some days volume is not there, and it's very range bound. Doesn't matter that we grind up to new highs. The highs don't come with velocity. And then when we get those corrections, the corrections come right back down and people keep buying the dip. As I've been telling people all week and to other people who I have conversations with, by the time you realize what's exactly happening, if you don't understand the macroeconomics of the economy, it is going to rip your face off. Much as I said in the prior two-part episodes of credit contractions, you're really trying to get an understanding of risk exposures that are out there, whether they be from margin, whether they be from valuations with banks, because those risk exposures are what are going to trigger at some part in this in these next few months. And I'm talking about the next few months of September, October, November, December. And when they trigger, they're going to pull the markets back really strong. Continue to buy dips, continue to buy tops, and you will learn exactly what I mean, because in order for people to buy those dips and tops, it's not necessarily that they can only use margin, but the majority of people are using margin to do it and to hold those positions. They are very comfortable in being lulled to sleep. Again, I thank you for tuning in. Next episode, we speak about what the billion-dollar question is of how the Fed handles this situation. And when we figure out that situation, I think you really, really have a good shot at defending yourself from a pullback, or better yet, making loads of money on the short. LA Aiko out. Trade Talk with a Hedge Fund Insider. Thank you very much.